Listen, agents, we can't stand still. We have to find ways to upskill. The National Transformation Initiative has found a way. All you need is the will. With over 1,000 courses provided free of cost and fully online from the world's leading provider of online courses, Coursera, upskilling has never been easier. With courses in IT, entrepreneurship, business, tourism, the creative industries, and more, training.nti.org.bb is where you need to be if you understand the need to step up and to upskill online, anywhere, in your own time, at your own pace. Go to training.nti.org.bb and take a look. training.nti.org.bb, because you're never too good to get better.
29 minutes before 7 o'clock. Good evening to the man, Mr. Sluggy Dan.
Manners and respect. Greetings. We have an absolute legend. We can come right back and tell you all about it. All they want you tune up. I want you key up. No place like home by Mishka. I want you to tune that up quick. We starting off with that before we get to our special guest, not telling Barbados who it is yet. Today is going to be an absolute great one. This is Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme every Saturday, 6:30 p.m. on the nation's number one station. Ollie, we have one of the greatest entertainers ever live with us today. Barbados, you must stay tuned. Do not switch the station. Are you ready yet? You ready as yet?
Ready.
Go ahead.
Yeah, man.
Sitting by the phone, contemplating calling home,
wishing for a sunshine Christmas,
dreaming of the things I miss. Stuck here in sunshine, don't exist.
Got a plane to catch, ain't no turning back. Gotta make it home.
Christmas.
Music from Michka, featuring Samus Jamel. No Place Like Home. Once again, we say good evening to the man, Sluggy Dan.
Yes, that is one of my favorites. It's a new one, but that's one of my absolute favorites. You know, it's a sweet one. Big up Michka and Samus Jamel. And of course, it's two young persons. So, you know, you can get some extra push and extra play. This evening, though, we have the phone lines open already. All of you have someone on the phone lines already. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme.
Good evening.
Oh, I know this voice. This is Nura.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. This evening on the phone, we have Nura Oliveira. She's the president of Christchurch Foundation Key Club. Thank you so much for calling in to Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. Oh, this is another young person who get together with a group of persons and do great work all throughout Barbados, you know, and make me feel extremely proud. So I just wanted to open up the phone lines to them and welcome them to the platform and tell you publicly, Nura, that you all are doing a great job at Christchurch Foundation Key Club, and we really, really appreciate all the great work you do. Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, good. You there?
Yes, please.
Good. So tell us a little about Christchurch Foundation Key Club.
Well, basically, Key Club is a service-led organization. The Key Club is basically run by the senior students in secondary schools.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, we're all about giving back to the community, giving back to persons who help us, and giving back to persons who are in need.
Well, I love that. I love that. Was the age range of the persons in the club?
How old are you in fourth form?
Okay, that's the age range?
Yeah, from
14, 15?
Sixth form, yeah.
Well, okay, well, no problem. And can you tell us about some of the projects that you did so far?
We donated to the HIV food bank.
Oh, nice.
We've given food hampers and other things to the geriatric hospital.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
We did various cash donations to depending on the project or what the persons are asking for.
Well, nice. I love that. So how you all are fairly young, like you said, school children. How do you raise funds, or how do you get the food supplies to donate?
Well, most of the stuff come from the parents.
Well, when it's red mummy and daddy cupboards. And
yes,
get it.
Please.
I love that. You gotta big up the parents, all that you know, that do support or don't mind their children giving away. It's such a virtuous thing to teach a young man, you know. It really, really make you feel good. That is great. So you're all doing more, you all have more giveaways planned for the Christmas season, or are you finished with all your food drives and so on?
No, actually for this month, mm-hmm, we're donating to Unborn Justice for their Christmas project that they're doing this year.
Oh, nice.
And then we're also donating to the food drive that you and Bim Got Talent are having.
Oh, nice. I love that. Big up you, Benura. Nura, I'm the Christchurch Foundation Key Club. That is so good. Despite all the giving away you've done and the donations you've done, you all still plan to do more. And I absolutely love that. I have one question to ask before you go. How did you get president? Why you? How did you come to this place? Because you was big president here on radio talking big. So you want to know, how did this happen?
Well, from first to third form, I was also president of the Builders Club, which is also a young leader. And then when I went in Key Club, I already had the experience. So I guess that some of the persons that were...
You hear that, Ali? The experience, man. That we're talking about.
Yeah, but since I had the experience from before, and the persons who were in the club before Key Club,
mm-hmm,
remembered me and the stuff that I did, I guess they just wanted to experience my work again.
Well, that is awesome, man. That is great work. How do you all function? Do you have adults or teachers who chaperone or guide you along?
Yes, please. We have a Kiwanis advisor, and we also have a teacher that is also that to have a connection with the school one time.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I love that. Who's the Kiwanis advisor?
Miss Sigrid Cummings, and our teacher that is like essentially our connection to the school is Miss Pierre McCauley.
Okay, Miss Cummings and Miss McCauley. Kudos to you if you're listening. I'm sure you do, Miss Cummings and Miss McCauley. Absolute kudos to you. And we love the direction these young people are having. Neura, it is so good to talk to you. Sorry to keep you so long, especially on a Saturday evening. But I must tell you that thanks for coming through. I want to let everybody know to continue to support. This is Neura Oliveira, the president of the Christchurch Foundation Key Club, who already donated to the HIV/AIDS Commission and so many other places, and they are just young children, 14, 15 years old and younger, doing great work. Neura, you have a home here. You got the number. Feel free to call in anytime and keep up the great work.
Yes, please.
Yes. Manners, that's what we're talking about, Ollie. Neura Oliveira, peoples, have a great day. See you later. Now, our special guest, Ollie, I want you to cue up one of his favorite songs. Our special guest, teacher, educator, was also in Party More Not finalist, Pickety Crop finalist, one of the premier comedians in the Caribbean, a fitness guru. I mean, I see a fitness guru, I mean a fitness guru. He was one of the teachers that helped restore discipline throughout the entire island of Barbados, not just at his school. It radiated everywhere. You could have feel it. You could have feel it. When the crazy, if when it was up there, when it was up here with this particular person, he couldn't do that. He was that strict. All you ever hear about a teacher being so strict and for discipline. And is one of the most fun people you know at the same time. That is greatness. He's also a songwriter and a singer. And he got the most famous opening line of any comedian or MC. He just have to say, peoples. All he have to do is say, peoples. Listen to me. I used to be in primary school. Listen, let me tell you, Ollie. I used to be in primary school. And I got like five people who used to dream of talking about, like Eric Lewis was one. Still, he had taught Eric enough times in person, but never sat down on radio. Eric used to be one. Cal Roberts or Ronnie Clark used to be the others. I don't know these reasons. You understand? I don't know these reasons. Cal Roberts, Ronnie Clark, Eric Lewis, just people that used to love to hear speak for whatever reason. And this person, Mr. Mac Fingal, was the other person. You had about four or five people used to just dream of talking to. How someone could write their own songs, sing them, still be an MC, still be a teacher, be so serious that people are frying free. I once saw him in the paper standing up by himself in the middle of Broad Street, so he protesting the bad behavior by himself. That's how serious he was, Ollie. But still, this was the most fun person. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the pleasure of speaking to an absolute icon, a legend, one of the greatest in the business, and someone whose name I'm sure will live on for hundreds of years, Ollie. Barbados, Spades, Rhythm and Rhyme. Mr. Mac Fingal! Mr. Fingal, good evening, sir. I'm good. Before come close start, to the mic. Turn it a little bit, Ollie.
Before you start, I just started in here. So, how you get in here, Sluggy? Is it one or two reasons? You can tell me which one.
Go on. Two.
Either you use the most slow, or when you play cricket, you're Sluggy. Which one?
Both. I was a swiper, and I used to move slow. So, it's a bit of both. I used to like to see the ball going over the boundary all the time. You know what I mean? But I ain't in a hurry. If I get out, I ain't in a hurry to walk back to the pavilion. Attack it by telling me back, drag it on the ground. Sluggy, get off your pitch, man. Get off your pitch, man. Go long, you're out. That means, so you are absolutely correct. First thing first, sir, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Good, ladies, we treating you good?
I have a new motto.
Yes.
Which I think COVID originated for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, I good even if I ain't good.
I good even if I ain't good. Why?
No, but is it COVID? I saw COVID as doing more good than bad.
Mm.
You know, people got worried about COVID because of the fact that people died.
Mm-hmm.
But at the risk of sounding insensitive and callous, the people who died would have died anyhow because they got to die. I think that COVID really reinforced that factor. You have to die. Yeah. So as soon as you recognize that you have to die and really digest it, then it does not make sense worry about dying. You're only wasting time. So what you should worry about is the quality of life you're going to live. You understand? And I don't think that I think as human beings, we're here to help each other. And that's what you were doing too, you know?
Yeah.
With that program and that child also just now.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's about. And then what it did for me is it brought back a type of richness in life that we used to. Because we used to live a rich life, but we didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't.
Because we thought that we got confused with the TV and all that, talking about rich as outside of see as money.
Mm-hmm.
But rich was really the way we live. That whole village life, that helping each other, feeding each other.
If you didn't
and
know
COVID,
man.
COVID brought that back, and that's what I appreciate. Like, for instance, it hit me when they had the first letter of your last name going to the store.
Yeah.
A woman passed by and shout my sister. She said, Miss Fingal, today is my day. You want anything? And I jumped. I ain't hear that since way back when it was about
you. You know that you study like that though, Ollie, and that is so true.
Yeah, because like in Bayfield, we had a few shops.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a real store. Mm-hmm. In Blaisdell had a store where you could buy anything. I mean, she used to sell. She would sell you a car because if you... I'm serious. You go to me and say you want tires, you tell come back Wednesday. She give you the tires. You want doors, you come back Wednesday, she give you doors. I mean, you could put it together and get a car. Mm. So people used to leave, walk down there because there's no way to get there except walking. And then as they passed by, they would shout the neighbor, I got enough blessed, you want anything? That was the common thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, bring two things for me. I got no money to come back. And that's how we live. So when I saw that went out with the type of influence we got from North America and England and stuff
yeah.
like that. And then that came back through COVID. And then this COVID also caused us to understand the difference between a barbarian and a Barbadian.
Mm-hmm.
You see how we used to rush for the bus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not barbarian, that's barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
Barbarian is a line up.
Yeah.
Like you go to cricket sometime at the break, you know, lunch and tea.
Yeah.
And you go to the bar is horizontal. When you get there, it full right across. You have no idea who first. And then somebody coming over you, skip out of there, but he break him into two of them and he bunny all over you. COVID no cause you to set up perpendicular to the bar. And you know the person in front is first.
Yeah.
And when you check it again, too fast to hear.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that
yeah.
was orderly.
You were getting too fast.
Yeah. So. And then what also happened to was the placing of them two shoes, two pictures of shoes on the ground.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was fantastic. That was like
yeah,
genius.
Yeah.
Because if you had a man to tell another man to keep the space, I thought they gonna break up. You know, skipper can move out there, move over there. Man, when you're too close, man, why are you too close? Why are you so close? Look at him, what's he name? Man, try and move up. What happened? You got to be able to do that. You just want to do something about it, and the fight break out.
Yeah.
But you see them two things on the ground, them two steps?
Yeah.
Control, you know. Stand up on it. I mean, that's my move, he step on it, and no bare order. So COVID is powerful like that. And it then dawned on me that I started to wonder the people thought would come from China, but it seemed to me like it was different.
Because
when you look and see the sky, you see stars, you see moon, you see the sun. And then you don't see the wind, but you hear it and feel it. And then you see trees of varying sizes, and you see animals of varying sizes. And you hear about floods and that kind of thing as well. You know that is a creation.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? It is a creation.
Yes.
And you know that, therefore, is a creation, it has a creator.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that the mankind, as we know, can't create their soul.
Can't. Impossible.
You know what I'm saying? So then you have to understand there is a creator.
Yeah,
that is,
don't
that,
care that, of that some
we,
sort.
That we don't, and whether they call it he, she, or it.
Yeah.
So when I recognized what it was doing, it seemed like it was putting things right. You're like putting order. Even the minibus, man, during that time, if you do a service, you see during COVID, they had a lot of accidents in the minibus.
No, it's true.
They couldn't be hustling. You don't really mind to tell you, look, you were the bus, but you got me $400. And you make $400 and you're trying to make three for yourself. And you're rushing. You couldn't follow up the bus because of COVID. So it brought order. And then it dawned on me that if I create something, I create for a purpose. And if I recognize that it is not achieving the purpose, then I have the right to change it.
If we create something, they create it for a purpose.
You know what I'm saying? So if I make a bicycle to ride me and I go and I test it, it cringe, I bring it back in shop and fix it. And it dawned on me that the creator must be saying, well, look, this thing ain't going how you plan it. So let me just go back and fix it. And look how you fix it. You know what I'm saying? You had to be clean in the place. The place to clean all of a sudden. I ain't seen no people on the road. Obviously, place. I ain't seen nobody with a flu on a cold room.
You see a bike blowing. No way walking past. You see a bike blow past you or a conker rapper blow past you.
And it always peace out.
For peace, months.
Peace at night. Even although the curfew got lifted up by me, there's still nobody on my street after 12 o'clock. Even the dogs don't bark after 12 o'clock with me, man. Dogs respect
it. No, you're right, man. You're right. It was different.
It was peace. Quiet. And you could rest, you know what I mean? And then it was order. And so then you could decide, you know, if which of the two grow of it, the creator or China. I done.
Listen, right, Ali, Matt have such a unique way of looking at it, right? But at the end of that, when he asked, we could decide who brought it. China or the creator, you know what I mean? And that's a very interesting question. I know that you point out certain things that were true, the way we had to move, a certain way it could only be God. And then when he made the correlation between the old time days where you saw up on where you got them by the lady shop in Blaisdell, and he was still asked, "Do you want something?" He said, "That happened for years." And then Matt was aware to realize with it. It's happening again. Well, that would be the need. That would be just the complaining for you. You know, be the complaining that that kind of thing's missing. Mm. But let whole match show, you know, it come back and you ain't had no choice. Because today your number, today's not your letter, Ollie. You know what I mean? It's W. You know what I mean? Use Ollie. You're W. So if you want something bad and it's my day, you got to let me back for you. Or I'll wait till your day come. So you ain't had no choice. But the match. Today's my day again. Don't you want saying? If you don't want saying, Matt, you ain't had no choice doing corona, but to let me back for you.
Well, not only that, the people start back growing things in the backyard and
had to.
And now they're giving a fellow got two corners, you're giving one, you got two
plates. Yeah, and people back. Was giving lettuce, cucumbers, carrots. You're so correct, but it ain't dawn on me the correlation between how we were before. And how we had to be during their times, it mean that we already had a blueprint that was working out.
Precisely. But we get following the TV. Now, another factor that came to mind too was that we saw COVID as a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the other disasters that we usually have, like earthquake is coming rumble for like, I was in Trinidad for a few earthquakes already. They hadn't even had a little thing here called a tremor one time. That's rumble for like maybe a minute or two, you know? And because it happened here, it don't necessarily happen at the same time in Jamaica or not. Texas, it don't be happening in New York. Mm-hmm. And they got something called tornado that is just a few seconds and mash up the place. But it happens in an isolated area, it don't happen in all over the place. There's the tsunami from anywhere to 5 minutes to 12 hours. That's not gonna last. You see, so all these things had time on them.
Correct.
COVID got no time on it. And then COVID was like the whole world at the same time. Whereas the earthquake to be there, don't be there, the flood to be there, the tornado to be there. COVID at the same time, the whole world and has no time on it. So tell me, man, is it China or the creator?
Because it's a time, is the master. You know what I mean? It's the father time. So is it China or the creator? And I love that perspective on how he see it, where he didn't see it as a bad thing, and you were so aware. Where you feel that come from? I know obviously Matt is years of doing some things and entertaining. You gotta be aware of the crowd. Cause you gotta know if the people feeling this, if you gotta change as a teacher, different students, you gotta be aware how the students learn, how to reach them. But where you feel your sense of awareness came from? Because I ain't heard. And we do this show a lot, and we've had a lot of deep conversations. And I hear much people break it down like that, and seeing Corona like that. where this awareness for you come from? Because I don't know if you're religious, if you're spiritual, I don't know what it is.
Well, I as growing up, I had a question of God. Mm-hmm. I even had a question recently again too. I had a serious conversation with you there about the word envy. I couldn't understand why was envy necessary, you know. For instance, I always thought that smoking was the most foolish thing created. And then all of a sudden I realized envy more foolish than smoking. So I went and had my discussion with the big man. And I asked him, what is envy, my God? Tell me where you got this. And you know, he said, listen, you will notice that I have opposites. I have high and low, left and right, up and down. You know, I got short and
far.
Short and tall. I got fat and thin.
Near and far.
Ugly, good looking. You know what I mean? And therefore, he said, and I noticed you have not complained about adulation. So I have to have the opposite of adulation, which is envy. You understand?
So you feel the envy helps us to appreciate the adulation?
But because that's the positive side. You see, you got to have it. And then you understand that good and bad. And that's why I believe that, for instance, there's a God in me. But I believe the devil in me too. Because I got good in me and bad in me. But you see what you bring out. You understand? Because when I do good, I represent God. If I do bad, I represent the devil. As long as you believe that there is a God, you must understand that there is a devil. Because that's how it is. The same principle that he told me, fat and thin, ugly good looking, you got good and bad. And you must have it. Because how do you recognize good? But when it's not bad. How do you recognize bad when it's not good? So, you know, it's very simple.
So these conversations, you always, because you say you had one a while back, you had a couple a while back, you had one recently. You always used to have these frank conversations with the Creator?
Frank, tell you the smallest question. I even question the existence. I didn't understand. Cause you know, as a boy, a little boy, you sit and worry at night. Sometimes you can't sleep at all. Who's God? And then if he is Father, who's he Father? And then who's he Father? And you're going through to almost go in your mind to how to just accept. And then I work out that it makes sense to believe in God. It makes sense. Suppose you decide you believe in God. And then you dead and you believe that there's a place and everything. And when you dead, there is one. Because of how you believe in God and live, then you're good. You follow what I'm saying? But if you don't believe in God, and then when you get there now, there is one, you're butter.
But if
you believe, and when you get there ain't none, there ain't a problem. And if there's one, you ain't a problem either. So it makes sense to believe in God. Because in other words, if you get there and there ain't nothing so, you're good because there ain't nothing so.
Right. I understand you. They're not downside. And Ali, that is a simple way of breaking it down. No matter what you call him, you call her, what you believe in, that is a simple way of breaking it down. If it's, and he explained it, but if you do good, represent God. You know, if you do bad, represent the devil, or people call you devil.
As long as you believe the God, you must know there's a devil. Right. You don't have to believe in the devil.
Right. Correct. But the way you explain it, they don't say if you believe in it and you're doing good, I mean, you get there's nothing like that. Like, you don't do nothing wrong. You still live your life good. Precisely. You live your life a righteous way still. Precisely. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the flip side is not the equivalent. If you just live good but don't believe in God and you get there and it's something else, you know what I mean? It's still bad luck.
Yeah.
You get me? So how you explain it is quite simple. But you from talking to you, you don't see this as a religious thing at all. You talking as though they're saying just personal, man, just talk with you. I have a reason with you. How you're talking.
I explain what happened. See, I was big in the church as a boy. Then me and the priest had a problem. No, I was about 16 years old, and I recognized that the second commandment didn't make any sense to me. You know the second commandment? It says, thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven above or earth beneath. Full stop. Thou shalt not bow to them, nor worship them. Now, first thing, if you said don't make it, if you said don't bow to them, nor worship it. If you said don't make it, then you shouldn't say don't bow to them. So whether there's that or that, the point is that he had me bowing down to this little man on the cross, which was to me a graven image of what we perceive to be in heaven. And the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not make it.
Mm-hmm.
So you make it and got it there. And then God, he said, don't bother, you got me bothering. So he went to him and asked him about it. And he used to answer all of my questions, and that day he told me in a hurry. And he left. And now he left the altar, I went to another one. And the one I went to, me, he had a problem too. The priest started saying, telling that women ain't to wear pants. So he asked him why. He said, because in the Bible. So he said, so show me, and he tell me about it, really funny. And I even found it. But it didn't say so. He said, women should not wear men's clothing. So I went back to him, and I asked him, well, he said, my boss, man, what you saying? Magnus said to me, because if a pants met for women, it's not men's clothing.
It can't be.
You know what I'm saying? And then me, he come wrong over to, he want the women to wear long dress, and they're going to see. So I tried to explain to the man that it is just a quality activity you're doing. I said, you know, as an athlete, is when I train, I put on my track suits.
Mm-hmm.
I said, look at the clean cutters. When I'm playing, they got on a big hat on the sun and put on things with the clean cutter, got a long sleeve shirt.
Makes sense.
A man with a jackhammer that's got earmuffs. When you're going to sleep, it's proper pajamas. You don't put on a three-piece suit.
Yeah.
When you're going to see, you wear as little clothes as possible. You know, so you're not drunk. I said, you're looking to drunk my people. He talk about lust. I said, but Reverend, isn't them that lust and it's you? Because if a woman come look sexy, you know who the whole sin is.
Yeah, yeah, and it is, if it's you, the preacher, that can control it, you can. I love that you say so. Hear it to uncle, because it's you that lost it, not the people. Because if it's you that can't control it, you can't blame the woman. If she going to see, she wear sea clothes.
Right,
wear clothes to be there.
And then no, after when you went to be there, I was still in church all the time, but you went to be at a camp. You went to camp for about 4 weeks. And when I got back home, I didn't miss home. I took out my, dropped my duffel bag, took out my boot straight in church. It was a Saturday. Yeah, it sounded like Saturday class or Sunday school or something.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, I went to sit up front, right up front, because since it was a part story, I just sit up front. Oh yeah, they went to a funeral and had one chair. Everybody was saying, can't get in, but one chair up front, I went to sit down in it, and they come and whisper to me that he preached here. So I said, well, if he wanted, he could tell me to get up, but I said, no, here. And he didn't bother me. I was up front all the time. So I went, sit up front, and when I got there, this woman from Texas was the priest's wife,
mm-hmm.
and they had a bag of questions. So they had this girl from Bayfield would read out the question. The audience had written the question and put in a hat because they didn't want to ask them to put in a hat. So when I got the first question was, should Christians mix with sinners? And the woman said no. The woman said no. I said, yeah, excuse me, are you telling me that you up there are Christians? She said, yes, and we don't hear sinners? She said, yeah. And you said we shall mix? She said, to tell the girl the next question. I said, ma'am, do not read no next question here. Ma'am, I need to understand what you're doing. You don't feel like we don't come here to make me Christian like you? Yes. So how you can do it without mixing? She tell the girl the next question. I said, ma'am, we don't read no next question here. I said, ma'am, listen, try to understand. Jesus, they don't need ghetto with whores and
yes.
And, you know what I mean?
Correct.
John Christian, yes. How Jesus moving. What are you trying to tell me at all though? She tell the girl next question. And the girl read it. And they gave her left. And I went back in the church. So I work out that. I was strong enough to handle myself. I deal with my conscience. I try and do as good as I can, help as much as I can, because that way I believe we should do. We shouldn't just live and die. We should do something. You know what I'm saying? We should help somebody. It's a waste of life to just live in that.
Yeah.
You got to make some kind of contribution. And that's why some of these young boys are here doing foolishness. I don't understand too. If they're so unintelligent, to know that they can't figure out that somebody using them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have money to buy guns. These young black boys ain't got the money to buy guns. Mm-hmm. Somebody been and given to them to kill themselves.
Well, they don't got the money to buy the magnitude of guns, because when, as we know, it don't be just for one person. So when one body get whole quick, so you see things happening. So we know even if a group of them get together and raise some money to buy one, we all know that one, nobody is sending one gun from the States, because they don't met here, man.
Precisely.
And we all know, it's just common sense, that this ain't gonna be guns. This could be apples, mangoes, oranges. I'm not buying one. You know, and then it make it worse if it's saying expensive. So, like, if you was a simple businessman, even if you was a ghetto, you got saying like ROI, return on investment. So you aren't buying one gun, even if you was a black boy that got money, because if it get hold at the port, suppose it don't get in, all your money dead.
Mm-hmm.
So common sense would say, well, I can bring in a box of apples. if one spoil or one drop out, yeah, I got enough still to get back my money. Yeah. That's simple business. We do that in primary school, man. You teach for years. These people, little boys at school to do this with lollipops. A boy will buy a bag of lollipops. He can try to get sell if you pay $2. He can try to get at least $3.50 or $4. You rest that left back, he would then give you. You understand? But you can buy enough they could get profit. Right. So we know no one coming coming. No one gonna come in. So that way Matt saying the story is not no poor black boy, but we ain't really wanna deal with it because it's not a poor black boy.
But what I'm saying to you too is that when you talk lollipop, no lollipop, you might suck your lollipop and they go run and play and that done. But this is killing up our people.
Yeah.
And what got me is that enough homicide can equal genocide. You
know? Yes.
Every time, like we hear how much they kill so far this year, about 40 right?
Yeah.
That's 40 something boys that never get a chance to reproduce, to make some more children.
Study it.
You know what I'm saying?
All that, boys here.
That's 40 something boys that can't contribute nothing to society.
That done.
Therefore,
if that line is done.
There's going to be a time, if this continues, that all of what we would have done would be for naught.
Yes.
Because learning is not supposed to stop. Learning is supposed to continue because you must continue the work of mankind. It must continue. Learning don't stop. Mm-hmm. And from the time you cut, when you cut the tree from the root, it can't bring no fruit.
Yeah. But that's the thing. We are the audience. We really want to cut the tree from the root. I remember a time seeing that people was objecting to cameras and like detector tests and all these things, right? Like, this is what met me not study church per se, but study just doing good. So you see what Matt was talking, where he was quiet listening, Ollie, because like that is be in my brain every minute in my life. That way you see is trying to do as much good as possible. Because you see all these people that be claiming that there's one do so good, you know, like it'd be all for sure. That's for me, Sluggy, talking. I remember hearing about like detector tests and cameras, and I remember seeing in the paper and hearing on radio even people calling in this station and objecting to it. Now if guns come in, there's only one way to bring the gun. Why all of you don't want to take a lady detector test? Why we can't mandate that all of you take a lady detector test? They got cameras all throughout. We ain't want to do that. Guns only coming in the barber, that's one way only. The people that are responsible, all the ports and however they're coming in, why we can't agree to like that test? Because what Matt just said, we ain't really want to quell the problem because there's only one way to quell it, and that's at your root. You can only kill a tree when you dig it up from the root. You understand? But we feel good with the black boy getting locked up, yeah. But everybody in Barbados know that down the root, that's just a branch. Not even a branch yet. That's just a fruit.
But when you study though, I suppose is black killing black? Let me ask you a question. I'm the last of white man kill a black man in these islands.
True.
Last. No, the Jamaica the killed this last week in Jamaica was 1,326 that dead for the year. St. Lucia had 60. We had 40 something. Trinidad had about mostly. I know Trinidad had about. I had a good 400 or 500 early in the year.
They're probably
near 800 or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And most of them is black youth.
Yes.
That ain't got a chance. That ain't getting a chance. You know? And so it's black killing black.
It's only we.
So then there's going to be a time that they ain't going to got no black people.
Right. When you said enough homicide is genocide.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think that we understand how truthful and serious that is. And then you further explain, man, that line. Done. That line and there. Whatever potential them had gone. That's 40% different.
You know,
boys.
You know what I feel? I personally feel like every time a black boy dead, a black man shoot a black man, I just feel like it's like my eyes is smiling.
We gotta be.
You know, I feel it's like medicine still working.
Yeah.
400 years and it's still working. And the thing is that why you want these young boys to stop and think, well, what if they're going to plan to own the land? Because if you don't own the land, you can't any mercy to the big guy, man. Back to slavery, you know. I look in the future, Sluggy. I see a book written in 2050. I know there's some people there that are going to face it around my head when they're around me here. I see a book written in 2050. And you know what it said? It said Barbados. And it had a dash. From freedom to slavery. And the next dash, holler. An embarrassment to the black race. 2050. From freedom to slavery. I see clearly we got his lives again, Barry.
I don't think we realize how close we are. And persons, no one can have a problem with saying this thing because it's true. You know, like, I come here and try to keep it as real as possible. But you know, the truth is, certain things you would like to do, you can't do how you want to, because you might not got the might and the power to. Yes, I got the influence, but I can't implement policy nowhere. You know what I mean? I can make certain decisions. But what Matt is saying, Ollie, is the truth. It did, you know, brother. The situation that bad. If you check it, right, I know a lot of women really want to deal with it. And then certain people you don't want in certain positions because of who they are. So you might not want Sluggy as a consultant or saying. You don't really want me too close because you know I can be honest and real. Because I know how bad the situation is, you know what I mean? Like, as people know, you little brother get shoot 4 times in the face, dead. You know what I mean? God best friend get killed, dead. And these wasn't the worst people. You know what I mean? My brother was home, standing on the phone, looking at cricket. May come up to the pastor, hear that somebody was on the pastor, shoot at the person, they see my brother yet. You know what I mean? May even reach out to me. You hear what I tell you, Ollie? These violent boys even reach out to me after them killed my brother. You hear what I'm telling you? Every day, you know, see a youngster shoot somebody in Eagle Hall, daytime in the afternoon, not in the evening, nothing, Matt, in the daytime.
But what we can do, Lord?
So what Matt's saying is true, Ollie, it did already.
What I could tell you, Sluggy, I'm gonna read you a message from the WhatsApp chat.
Go ahead, buddy.
And it relates to this, and it relates to my experience with Mr. Fingal, right?
Yes.
He says, good evening, Ollie, season's greetings to you and to one of the best teachers in the world. It was always a pleasure to hear, sir. I entered the Lodge School in 1983 and Michelle is my name. I must confess, though, that initially, sir drove the fear of God in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
He was very strict. And another message from the WhatsApp. Hassani, Mr. Matt Fingal, your man Hassani says he's getting ready to percolate. So I'm just going to touch quickly on what Michelle said, right? Because I went to school at the Lodge for 2 terms back in 1985-86. I got a transfer to foundation because I practically lived like a stone's throw away.
Mm.
But before I got to the Lodge school, I was told, listen, Lodge is great. You're going to have a lot of fun, but you cannot play the fool. There's a gentleman there by the name of Mr. Matt Fingal who loves the children. He inspires the children, he helps them, but you can't play the fool at Lodge, Sluggy. I went to the Lodge school and I can see Mr. Fingal, which is a little strange to see him today because to me he looks younger today than he did back in 1985. But
you didn't want to look in the face that thing, that's all.
Listen, I could see Mr. Fingal now talking to the children, Sluggy. I could feel the energy in that place. The effect that Mr. Matt Fingal has, It is serious, you know. You wouldn't go to law school and play the fool, you know. And I tell you something, people who went to the law school in those days, still up to now, as you can see, and as he came in here, I said, sir, also, people still have that immense respect for Mr. Fingal. So Mr. Fingal, on behalf of many students, not only law school, but people even around the world, I just personally want to say thank you for being you, sir.
Listen, right?
Thank you, sir.
Let me ruffle a few feathers now, right? Ollie, and then while you ain't on this conversation too, make sure my microphone turn up. People can hear you good. You know, how Matt see things, right? How a few people may see things, because they ain't got persons like him, but persons who blunt and honest, right? Those people in the beginning are not loved. You hear what I'm telling you? They got telling me Matt was doing things while he was doing it was objection galore. I can tell you why he says so no. Now when you see the objection that we're getting because of how he was speak, you understand? You feel that the government or somebody could got me as anything to do with youth and then everything to do with the youth, that would never happen. You see how Matt was? They had a time where Matt couldn't get on law school. You hear what I'm telling you?
I remember.
They had a time where Matt was I'm not talking about doing anything bad. I'm talking about wanting good for children, correcting children, doing what is right. You hear what I tell you? And this legend that everybody praising, he could not go on law school. Many people might not know that.
For 5 weeks, I got Andy Brothers. 5 weeks.
I thought it was 5 days. It's five weeks.
5 weeks. I had to bring the man on the plantation telling me teach from E-Land. They had a plantation above. Mm-hmm. I went in mm-hmm. and negotiated because I was suspended for 5 weeks. And I couldn't enter the premises. So I went to stand up my plantation and the children met me over there and I coached them from over there.
You hear what the man says, Sluggy? The children.
What do you feel they taught the story?
Over there, the children met him. Listen, the children believe in my finger, Sluggy.
But that's what the school they like. You know what it means? And I want you to know something. Them things is what's whole by a nation. Imagine that Mr. Matt Fingal was suspended for 5 weeks. Had to use a plantation to teach children from over there. But that just show you the love and commitment. Because he then had to. You know what I mean? That's going above and beyond. That's way. But what made you, right Matt, decided, well, listen, it's supposed to be suspended for dealing with a child. But they can still teach the children, they can find a way. Because you may look at that as not anything big, but Matt, you know that no boss ain't doing that. You but guess you all you can imagine that all you like you put the plantation on one side. You can't go up on your school, so you go off stand up front there and show or teach your children from there. That's crazy. Go ahead, sorry.
The closest sports to see. And I get a word that the children are planning to. To like demonstrate that sports. And I didn't want that yet, so I went up and I tell them we gonna work, we can still compete and we can try to win. So I would go on the court from above from the plantation. And then finally they took me back to school afterward because I got a lawyer and all that. I was on drugs, I didn't fight any drugs. And they didn't like my methods. You know, they probably want me to tell you what you're doing. But when you're fighting drugs, you can't tell you what you're doing because drugs just got different links all over the place. You know.
So. And listen, right. And it's sometimes, like, you can't really explain what you're doing. So if Matt fighting drugs at school, knowing how he's catching children with the drugs, Matt is opposed to drugs. But experience will tell you, Ollie, you can't go and tell the other teachers or even the principal your method, because if your children know, them two can get catch, but they ain't catch them all. If your children know, none of body ain't know, that way might be able to hold them all the time. But people don't really care what results. Because if you're producing results and holding them, how that could get objection?
A part of it too is that I was able to send something to rehab and thing, and then by doing it in our community, they would come back in the school mm-hmm. and they would. Like, you know, nobody will really look at it that kind of way. They come back rehabilitated.
Mm-hmm.
Rehab don't always work, but it works in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, it does. In some cases. It might not always work, it does in some cases, but that's fairly interesting. You know, Barbara's got to be there, what? 5 weeks? You know what I mean? And Matt still taught. And I love that. All
but,
want
but,
me take.
But what are we gonna do now, though? Let's see, because we are different thing. But the thing is that some necessarily we have to do things to. Because the police, let me get real. The police really can't stop crime.
Can't.
Right. The police don't know when a man gonna stab you, boy, beat you, boy. Police don't know when a man gonna shoot a man. Yeah. Right? Police react to crime.
Yeah, that gotta happen before the police.
Right. So I'm thinking some things like simple things. One, the first thing I would do is don't put crime on the front page of the paper. I know two papers in the state, one in Jersey called the Star Ledger. Never mm-hmm. put crime in front page. I don't know if they do know, but when I was there, it never happened. And there's another paper called Tribune. They never put crime in front page. They report it, but never put it in front page. Because, like, for instance, now, front page is really just grab your attention. Suppose they got a fella in England or somewhere in Europe that he and his wife just get married and want to go to a honeymoon somewhere in the Caribbean. And he said, honey, check there, but he didn't see what happened in Aruba and what happened in Barbados, because mm-hmm. that places. And the woman said, oh, okay, Aruba, they have a regatta, and there's these beautiful boats on the front page. Oh, Lord, it's so lovely, and the can't water, so what's happening in Barbados? Well, they got two boys murdered again on the front page. Well, let's go to the regatta, you know what I'm saying? And if you, if that happens, or repeatedly, then in time, it would prevent people from coming here because it creates fear.
Yeah, yeah,
and then when they can't come, then the hotels got no layoff people, and they got layoff. The taxi driver can't get work, the maid can't get work, and therefore they cannot afford to buy the paper because they're working. And then the newspaper people might have to lay off people because the paper ain't selling. Mm-hmm. So the same man that put in front of paper don't working either.
That's
one of the things that we got to do. Because you can't report it. But even when Johnny Cochran
report,
was here.
Report, but not promote.
Right, Johnny Cochran was here. You know, you live or OJ. Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying that he complained that there were too many pages of crime in the paper. And when I even checked, I had like that and had like four pages of crime. He says too many pages. And he make money from it, you know, but he's being very real. And next thing we got to do, Sluggy, is that we got to create a society where they understand that all jobs are noble. We have this thing with what, white collar, blue collar.
I love that, man. Right? Let me go and listen.
No, I'm serious. Like, you know, white collar people feel they're superior, and the cause in blue collar feel inferior. And these people then, that like will be a farmer or a butcher, they don't want to do these jobs because they feel, you know, inferior, as inferior jobs. But all it really is that before, when the slavery thing done, and or during slavery, the only buyers who really will be working to get money will be the clerk that adding up the money from the coffee and the sugar cane and thing. Mm-hmm. And he will wear a white shirt, because that's what the British used to wear a white shirt. But when the Industrial Revolution came along, mm-hmm. then you brought up on grease and grime and soot. So you couldn't wear a white shirt again. So they used to dress and wear a blue coverall. You understand? And then that type of worker who was doing menial tasks, worker who would get dirty, was referred as a blue-collar worker. Really, office worker, no, was referred to as a white-collar worker. But you tend to think that like a fisherman, a plumber, a grave digger, mm-hmm. you know, these people are inferior, but these people are very vital to the survival. I mean, these people that are so educated and stuff, the blue collar man is build a house for them, put in electricity, water, but go and catch the food, catch the fish, and feed them, so they can live without them.
Very school the children. Yeah.
If you got earthquake tomorrow, you know Ali, is that right? If you got earthquake tomorrow, you know what earthquake do, mash up your place.
Yeah.
Tell me what we want, partner. For a man to put on a white shirt and a tie, go in the office, sit down and sign a document, offer somebody to cut any trees, put back electricity, put back water, bury the dead and clean the place.
No,
who's the important people though?
That's a good point.
You see, yeah. So we gotta instill that in the people, and you gotta do it now more so than ever, because the future does not pay much attention to the academic anymore. The future is about skill now.
Yeah.
All these skilled people. You see the robots taking over, right?
Yes.
The robots taking over in a serious way.
Yes.
So you know, we still got human beings, so we still gotta find a way to survive, we still gotta produce. But you gotta go and grow daily land, you gotta grow food, because the only money you got food is vital, you must get to eat.
Facts.
You know? And the water thing gotta do, the gardening, the fishing gotta do. So then we gotta make these people understand in primary school that these jobs are noble, no matter what they call, they are noble. We got this fancy thing, I want more to find a lawyer and doctor. No, they got lawyers, no, can't find work. And they got doctors, the price comes down here, no, $30 now, because, you know, they ain't getting any work before. So maybe got to get this sometime in school, I would drop the common entrance and I would try to find an exam that could tell me at 6 years old, anywhere between 6 and 8 years old, what you are supposed to be. Because you notice that God gave everybody different talents.
It's true.
You know, if you were all of the same intellect, the world would be confused, you know.
Very.
Yeah, you know, he promised a way, can't promise it too.
It's true.
So God knows what we're doing, you know, or she or whoever you want to call it. Some people say Allah, some people say God, some mm-hmm. But the point is that creator knows what you're doing. So you give everybody varying talent so that everything will be done. You understand? Everything will be done. And therefore, you got to be able to identify what your talent is. Let me give you an example. I was in a camp. I had a camp there for the BOA I did about a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And one day we were asking children what they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then I brought in people to talk. I brought in a guy that was talking about, I can't remember what he's doing, some lecture though. But this one guy was not paying attention. And I was watching him all the time, the fellow talking and preaching, and he did, like, drawing something.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he had anything down to lighting, he know how I bring my man to him. So when the man gone, I went to him, I said, boss man, you know, could you tell me some of what the man said? And he tell me. And he tell me everything the man said. But yeah, he drawing something. So I said, let me see what you got there. I mean, he drew a car, fantastic looking car, and still knew what the man said. So I said, boss man, let me understand who you is, but you was an artist? He said, yes, sir. So you going to be an artist? He said, yes, sir. I said, but you know, yesterday when they asked me what I want to be, you tell me you didn't know. And he hold on, yeah. I said, well, I can tell you what you tell me you didn't know. You tell me you didn't know because that boy said he can be a pilot, that boy said he can be a lawyer, that boy said he can be a doctor. So you figure that art being an artist is inferior.
The artist far richer than any doctor or lawyer could ever dream of. You know, me one painting some made itself $100 million.
But it's the mentality. So that's what I said. If we could conquer that, Ollie, if we could conquer that early, a fella would feel better about himself earlier. You gotta be studying and watching all these other people getting by. And the next thing I'm gonna tell you
is
quickly. No, I'm gonna tell you the next thing that is important. Sports.
Yes.
Sports. I overheard. I believe it's Andrew. Andrew Pilgrim might be able to correct me, but I saw him on something. I tell him on YouTube, and he said that 90% of the people who come before him for him to defend them never play sports. I believe that's what he heard. Never play sports, and it makes sense to me because the human being thrives on identity. Human being wants to be identified with something. You are DJ or your program or whatever. You have identity.
Yes.
So you got identity.
Yes.
He was a musician and he was
in
a police band. You know?
Correct.
I got identity.
You're right. And that's still part of my identity. No, yeah, so you're correct.
Precisely. But what I'm saying is negative identity and positive identity.
Mm.
When you hear a man say, man, I drink the man on the table last night, it's great groove. So that's his identity. He's the top drink. He's bragging.
Mm.
And when a man says, she comes to me and says, wash your curse, man. He's bragging, he's a top curser. But his identity, you know, because man says, that man can drink.
Mm-hmm.
But no, looking at positive identity, though. No. In sports, you just get the idea instantly. That's what I like about it. Instantly. One game of football, one game of basketball, one game of cricket, and next day, you can tell, you can hear a fellow, you say, "Ali, boy, you can hook, boy. You that man, boy, real fast, boy. You that man, kick corners. That man can hit. That man can dunk, boy." And you hear that, we say, you feel good. But if you got to wait for somebody call you broke, you know you got to wait 5 years.
Five years to get 5, 6 years
for somebody call you broke.
Yeah.
And during that 5 years, they got a fellow there that is a fantastic psychologist. Named a drug pusher. These men are intelligent men here. Barbados, all they find Barbados do not give criminals credit for being intelligent. They think that because it's do bad, that well, Hitler would have some kind of genius before he pull off.
It's evident. We got someone on the phone line. We'll be got a caller, Uncle Matt. Good evening, Bajan, Rhythm and Rhyme, Uncle, the legend, King. Greatness, Mr. Matt Fingal, and your boy Uncle Sluggy's here. Let me go. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Testing 1, 3. Wake up.
Buddy, on mute.
You putting it down?
Yeah, it seems that they've gone, Sluggy. They were holding on for quite a while.
They were?
If you get a chance, please call back.
Let me.
Can we quite a while? If you call, hold on a bit. Boy, you want to put down in my ears? Call back here, man. When the crazy me hold on a bit, it's called listen authority. Yeah, then it'll be 6 hours.
I do want to ask a question, Slugs, because time is moving. Mr. Fingal, what influenced you and what inspired you to become or to think the way that you think?
You got a unique way of seeing life, you know what I mean? I don't want you to cue up some of his favorite songs. I mean,
well, to tell you the truth, I don't know that I could answer that, you know. What I would tell you is that I recognize that I had a talent. And I tried a long time to try to understand it. And I don't understand it. And I made a decision to accept it and use it.
Mm.
So right now, I know me. But I don't understand me. Because I can say, well, look, sometimes I walk on stage, right? And I don't have no idea what I can say. And I stand and talk, and it just come. And then sometimes I don't remember what I said either.
I know that part, but you saying things on the spot, I'm not even remembering. I know that's true, because I didn't matter what say something, then you ask Matt. You know that one you say? That joke you say, that joke you say, what you said about me, hey? So you do it, no, I do it for a fact. So it just God.
When it first happened, right? It was. This big man that you're talking about, mm-hmm. ain't easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's just make things happen and it looked like, he's telling like they're making the sense, but it's happened for a reason.
Yes.
A time when I first, when I.
You want a call? Okay, we can take a call quick. We won't keep you holding on this time. Beijing, Rhythm and Rhyme, Uncle Sluggy, and legend, Mr.
Hello, good evening, good evening, good evening. I got to be short, right? Listen, Mark.
Yes, sir.
I am all ears, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen a house drop out the sky. And I have never seen food drop out the sky.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So when you said us now about the agriculture work and so on, these are very important. I mean, all jobs are important.
All
but the
jobs.
Lawyer, when he's hungry, he has to go to get food.
It's true.
Yes.
It's doctor, true.
He or she has to go to get food.
It's true.
It is produced by people in dirty clothes.
That's right.
Have a good evening.
That's right.
I love that. I love that. But it's produced by people in dirty clothes, Ollie. I love that. But Matt, you were saying that.
No, I'm saying that this particular time.
Is, yes, go ahead.
This experience I had when they jumped me was when we had an untouchable thing. And it was a Sunday show. I had the police band brass to play. And there was a communication problem. And I did not realize that they had a show the same night. So he had his show scheduled there at 7. And when we went about 6:30, quarter to 7 or so, we realized then that they had a concert somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we messaged him that they can't get there till 8:15. And the people already said, no, the place full. And people said, no, waiting. So I felt badly. And I cannot tell you what happened, but I walk out on stage at 7 o'clock and stop and talk till 8:15. And I entertained them. And they said, and when the police back comes, they tell him, I keep talking. but I really. I mean, it's only when I get back home and study it, I said, wait a minute, was that it? But then I realized that I could do stand-up comedy then, from then. You see, that how big man's moving, or that's how we imagine.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
If I didn't get pushed to that point. And then another time I did a show in London, I performed for 2 hours straight, you know, mixing it with comedy and song. And then, so after you have that experience, though, you're comfortable, you know. So you do just about anything, you know.
Master.
But before you go, I want to ask, Sluggy, just one last question for me. In terms of children and talking to the children and having the effect on children, I'm one of them for sure. I would call you sir up until the day I die, sir. The amount of respect. So what inspired you or pushed you in terms of children and helping the children? How did that come about?
Ah, boy. Well, when I went to college, I was offered. I told them music or physical education. I always enjoy exercising and stuff. So I got into two different universities: one for music, one for physical education and health. But the music was part time, and the physical education was full time. And I did study part time at that too long. That was 7 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did a dual major. I didn't do a major in a month. I did two at one time. So it took me 4.5 years to finish that. Because I was not sure what I want to really do. Or, you know, if I want to teach. Because they have the counselors, they want to discuss with the counselors. And this man was trying to tell me that, always do something that when you've done it, it's still there. And even then things were changing. But because we always had change, but we never had change as rapid as we have now.
Yeah, yeah.
When you put advice in children to do certain things right now, you got to make sure that when they finish that the program, that is still existing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Things
yeah.
happening so fast. So much so that we are taught now not to ask children what they want to be. We ask them how they want to be. Right? The theory is if we ask a child what he want to be, he kind of become frozen in that mentality, I can be this. And when he done, it ain't there no more. So if you hope, he would know, well, you got to do this and piece of that and do something that you can branch off into some area or somewhere. You got to study in a diverse way. So even back then, way back, this man explained that to me too. So I decided, well, look, I like the physical thing, but I ain't sure if I'm a teacher, I want to be a teacher, if I want to work in the hospital, or if I can have my own gym. So I did it in such a way that I could do all. And so when I get the job at large, I came home to teach. Mm-hmm. And I must tell you, when I get there, I realized I was not preparing for Caribbean children. I was prepared mm-hmm. to teach what I was watching over there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just stand there for a while, oh, I leave. And then I went, we had taught us. You see, I'm a trained teacher.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teachers here are not trained teachers until they were teaching. Mm-hmm. A lot of teachers here go and teach because they got a degree. And then they train them to teach. Like every Wednesday, they go to learn something. And mm-hmm. they learn on the job. But I was trained to teach, so I came on trained. I got a license to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So I had these five methods of teaching. And I went and looked at them. And I picked up parts of three and created my own. And started to teach with that, and it worked. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And then I recognized that largely in the beginning, the children didn't seem to like school. They were coming, I let them come and teach for that too. So I had to find a way to keep them in school. And I decided I can use entertainment and sports. So this is how it started. I called a fella. I said, come here, you. You know anybody that can sing? Yes, sir. I know a fella can sing. He said, go bring it for me. He bring the boy. And I talk to the boy. And the boy tell me, yes, he can sing. I said, you know anybody that can sing? He said, sir, see that fella that bring me? He can sing better than me. So I stand back for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell him what he want to do. And the, you know, I get them to bring in the no people, no one other. And we came, we started to rehearse. And we practiced hard. And I created this thing called Fighting Back.
Because
what happened to had when I heard it on in the parliament, it came on the House of Parliament. They said that law school was below upon water level, and that hurt. You know what's below upon water level, man? You know how low you is, and they said that in parliament about with school. So that made me more determined. So I put on a concert the very first time I was there, and the children started to come in and enjoy the talent come out, and this time you. And then every time you win a game, put in paper. Every time you win one game, put in paper, push the sports. And it grew and it grew and it grew. And then I wrote this song called Fighting Back. And that we came up with. I don't think they know the school anthem, the school song, but they know that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it started from there. But sir, to get back to your question in a detailed way, there are three things I used to do with the children. Just mm-hmm. three things. People thought I'm a magician. I'm a magician here. Yeah? Three things. One, you listen to them. Some people feel like children don't be right, but children can't be right. You listen to them. Two, you don't promise nothing that you don't deliver. Good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you why I say good or bad. If you intend to tell your child no TV for 2 weeks, but you get in a real hard 2 months, it got to be 2 months. If you change it, you're going to lose them. They ain't going to believe you no more. And don't forget, they're going to go to the mother. Or father, voice, brother, or colonel, who say, and try to negotiate. And them got to be in the same place and say, no, it's 2 months. And when you do that, there, you see respect you get. The next thing I did, I know I was harsh. I ain't gonna lie, that was harsh. But I did fear. And consistently so. I treat everybody the same way, girls and boys.
Yeah. Sure.
Girls and boys.
No matter who your age, where you come from, that's one thing you used to hear. About you for sure all the time, Matt, treat everybody.
Everybody's the same. Treat all bad or all good, all that. And they respect that. No, they respect that.
It's true.
Look, I got some more stories to tell you. But these children, they love discipline. That's the thing that people don't understand. Children actually love discipline.
I mean,
they like order.
They like structure and order,
But the difference is that they are more perceptive. They are more perceptive than we were. Like when I was at lodge, I was a boy, I was at lodge too.
Mm-hmm.
We had a teacher that didn't know we do it, couldn't teach. And even one day a fellow from Antigua called me, law school was a boarding school at the time when they went there. And this Antigua guy get the point where he tell you, he says, sit down here, sir, give me a chalk. That was after about 2 years in a while, putting up with this man. And he went on the board and teach with the thing, because the man didn't know we do. The man is a math teacher, didn't know we do. But here it is now. When I was teaching, I see a boy was so stand up, ain't going to class, and mm-hmm. class gone. So he went there, he said, excuse me, bro, what happened? You ain't going to class, man? Man, sir, I don't feel you going to class. I said, what happened? Sir, that man that teaching me know what we doing, sir. Which man is that? Sir, the man that started yesterday, sir. You understand what you do? The difference, that's a great, that might sound simple, but there's a big difference between we and them. The man that started yesterday.
done sussy out, quick sort of, very perceptive. Them just know if you fidgeting, yeah, they know if you prepared, they know you fumbling, they know you know what we're talking about, and they're done with you.
Yeah.
But in my time, when we work out that after about 3 weeks, they worked out a minute, you know. We still hanging with you, you know. Don't mind you, because you're the teacher. But he done with he. And that's a big difference between how we were and how they are. And if you don't know what to deal with that there, you're going to run into trouble. So these children know is hook up on you or just done with you. You see? But if you fear, because they just notice that you're treating somebody different. So you treat all the same. Yeah? And they promise, I'm going to tell you what they promise. An evening, they're playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I catch the man on the bench, on my team, that ain't playing on the bench, laughing. And I tell the referee one time, oh, so you better ask them what they're laughing at. They tell me that they're laughing at the other team that can't play. So I said, well, let me tell you something, right? You know why they can't play? Because they ain't got nobody to work with them. When they got me, that spend time with them, that one can play. If I did with them, I probably get to play. So you don't laugh at people. Them just ain't got nobody, they didn't have nobody to work with them when they're playing. So I said, well, since when they're so good, and so they're laughing at people, if we don't beat them by 30 points, when I done, I don't care what time it is, everybody got cross country. You know what I'm saying? When we done at the dark, we bus driver, they'll be heading for them. And when he done out 8 points, we beat it by 28. And even I tell the bus driver, he said, boss man, you could call off if you want to call on, right? But these guys cross country here. And in the night time, I had to send them cross country because they have to understand that when I say, I mean it. But what was bizarre is that the bus that came for the opposition, one of the first that came on the bus, who didn't play, but he was there supporting. When he see my man running across country, he turned to a fellow and said, wait, we ain't got beat. Because he was thinking that them should get punished for losing, that we thought it was. But it wasn't about losing, it was about laughing at the people. So I had that problem no more.
Listen, a legend, I want to shout out quickly. All they want to shout out the community development department, hear what they have going on, something called Spreading Joy at Christmas. Spreading love, joy, and peace in the community. December the 19th. They are going through Hainesville, Deacons, Grisettes, Eden Lodge. December 20th, they're going through Lamings, they're going through Branch Berry, Ellerton, all over. They got a Mother Sally, they got Santa Claus, a music truck, Stilt Walkers. You know, you got the Ellerton Youth Group, they got the Hainesville Youth Group, and lots of other performances and so on. So I love that at Christmas time. You understand, Ollie?
You mentioned the Algonquin capital.
Me, St. Philip.
Yes, St. Philip.
Community Development Department, Mr. Matt Fingal said that we have to go through St. Philip. We have to go through St. Philip, specifically at least pass through Bayfield, at least pass through Six Roads. So add that to the list. That is from Uncle Sluggy and Mr. Matt Fingal. December the 19th, they said they're going through Hainesville, Deacons, Grisettes, Eden Lodge. December 20th, they're going through Lamings. Lamings, where Lamings is, Matt?
Is that St. George?
St. Joseph.
St. Joseph, okay.
Oh, yeah, St. Joseph.
Lamings, St. Joseph. Or the close to St. Philip, then they could pass through St. Philip. Branch, Berry, where that is, Ollie?
St. Joseph, I believe.
Oh, I want to go to St. Joseph. So St. Joseph, and Ellerton is St. George.
Yeah.
Big all the people in Ellerton, the people in St. George love me. People in Ellerton, Beards, St. George, you know, and all over. Manners and respect to all of my peeps. Listen, Ollie. Listening to Mr. Matt Fingal, right, and the way he think, this unique way he got looking at life, you know, I believe he got many of the answers. I'm saying he got all, but he got many of the answers, and I think it's because he see life so different is why he be so successful. He said tonight, right, not too long ago, something that I just let you say and pass because he wanted to come back and speak about it. When he said that children love discipline, children love discipline. You know that the average person think the opposite. Think, man, these children don't want the discipline, they may want an order. And you know it's always safe on here that children, no child don't want to be bad, you know. You see if you're doing anything with the youngsters, man. And you know, especially if you stand alone, you can make them do anything. They will cry, Ollie, sweat, cry, vomit, and still come back next day. You hear what he telling you? So that's how I know that Matt talking the truth. So people might not want to hear it, might not like it. But when you said, Matt, that children like discipline. Love. Mm-hmm. I wish people could understand how truthful you are being, because we think not. And I wonder why we think not. But from my experience too, uncle, mm-hmm. I really that you don't says love it. Like if you do it, Bim got talent, right? And they don't make singing competition and DJ competition and different things, right? Ollie and Matt, if say we come in at this time, they're coming. If it say we doing this, they're doing it. If it say we can't get there with them, we got to do we think first, then when they could do what they feel like, they may budget. And if one budget, they said don't come around, you can cry bad. It won't go along with these boys that cruel.
They love discipline, like hard. There is, again, they can assess quickly that you don't know what you're doing when you're fumbling. But sir, I'm all there, but don't do it. Go there. You know, but you say, listen, go there, that's what you're doing, and they love that. Mm. But I love this theory. Yeah? Mm. But what happened to you? Got make you look, when I went to school, computer was not a word. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you can't teach them the way you taught me. You know, you have to teach them to suit today. Like, for instance, I watch teachers talking like a monotone.
Yeah.
And then stand up and just, I said, no. You just hypnotize and send asleep.
Mm.
Especially after lunch, you gotta teach with your body, your face, and you gotta move, and your voice is undulated, your voice is gonna go up and down, you know, to get and then your shoulder, pull back, and then ask a fellow question, you know, and keep it.
Master, all right, listen, before Matt go, Ollie, right, I want you to give us two out of Matt list of favorite Christmas tunes. You understand? Give it a minute.
You gotta give me Richard Stout.
Rocksteady. Let me go. You got that there?
I love that. Yeah.
That led.
But before you play that, let me explain a line in there that would happen that Risto sang years ago that he didn't mean to do here. Uh-huh. When he said Risto got a line in there, but you got to be happy and gay. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, that didn't mean what he mean to do. So he want you to understand that Risto ain't saying that, but he want me to be gay and honest. So he want me happy.
No problem.
I love that song.
Rock Steady Christmas by the man and the legend, the grandmaster, the godfather, Mr. Richard Stout. Let me take in a piece.
Feeling real glad, so let us join in.
Rock steady,
and
man.
Rock sweet, steady, sweet. Chris. Yes, this we got a caller on the line. We can take the caller now. We're about to wrap up, but all of you know we can't have Matt, but we can't do Matt in one show. Matt Fingal, we can't do Matt Fingal in one show. Listen, they get a message quick. Listen, a person say, remember when I first heard Matt say the children love discipline and share the story when he let the students go outside to play and do their own thing. And within minutes, they came back in and said, oh, there is enough confusion. Matt Fingal has influenced my life. Sluggy Matt is a man I love to listen to. He says his things that are so deep, a very intellectual man, so much greatness in this man. There's just a few messages. And big up Corey Worrell on the outside, listening to and sending all his love and appreciation for so Matt. Big up you, Mr.
That
Worrell.
That person was actually in the class when he did that?
Oh, this person probably heard the story. So, yeah. This person heard the story.
Because that's true, you know, boss. That's the experiment I did. I wanted to understand them. You know what I'm saying? And I brought them. I said, gotta come with something. Gotta understand these children.
Uh-huh.
And I brought, that morning, I brought tennis racket, football, cricket, basketball, volleyball,
do you feel like?
Everything. Put it in. Today, people, it's free play. Do as you like. Uh-huh. Yay! They jump up. And all the tech up thing and running out there.
Go
like, and I look at the clock and I watch it. And I waited. After about 3 minutes, I said, this thing like it ain't working here.
Uh-huh.
So 5 minutes, the baddest bad man coming out of all. Everything are bad man.
Yeah, yeah.
Man coming, sir, this ain't working, sir. This ain't working. I said, sit down there. And I wait. And the next bad man, just after he coming, sir, you see what's going on over there? I said, sit down. I blow me whistle. And all they come. I said, see now? You see what's happening now? Huh? You see now why we got to have a prime minister? Where we got to have a mess education? Where we got to have a headmaster? Where you got to have me?
Ollie, see where you learn from, Ollie? Listen, we got a phone call. Back in the bedroom with my rhyme. Let's go. Night, Mr. Matt Fingal inside.
Sluggy,
yes, please.
Sluggy.
Yes, please.
I want to join you and congratulate him, Matt, man.
Go ahead.
He is a good man. But one of the things that ain't mentioned is Matt's generosity. Long before Conquer Star.
Yes.
I called Matt. We were looking for MC for sure. We had it at Truesbury. Well, school that thing, Truesbury was still open.
Mm-hmm.
And we called Mac, and Mac said, well, no problem. The show came off very good. I thought that we were stars, right? But it just that everybody enjoyed Mac Fingal and his jokes at the time. So I wanted big him. He's generous. He always there for you. He's a very shy man. And my dealings with Mac, anytime I had a show at the MC, and I call Mac at lodge. Mac would tell me, Mac, come and pick me up, man. Mac would go home. And whatever help Mac could give me before that show, because, well, there were religious shows, mainly at the White Park Tabernacle. And Mac would sit down there and coach me, you know, you do this right, you mm-hmm. do this way and that way, or you do that, you know. He's a giant of a man. But the show that I want to remind him of is one he did at the Pepper Pot a night. I hear you talking about a lot of other
memories,
things.
Boy.
But he was at the Pepper Pot a night, and the rain came down.
Uh-huh.
The band couldn't play. That time I used to run around a lot with the guys. The band couldn't play. Nothing can do. And Matt Fingal stood out in the rain there for about an hour. the rain pouring down on Matt drenched. And Matt just there with a microphone in the hand. And moving from one joke to the next till the rain stopped. I said, what kind of man this is, boy? He ain't feeling for a joke, he ain't pausing, he ain't doing it, man, just cracking joke after joke.
Greatness.
So I want to congratulate him. He know me well and I know him well, so he's a good man.
Great. Thanks a lot, yeah, man. I appreciate that. And I got to say a big respect to Parks as well. Parks on the outside, Ollie, locked on, you know, Parks is one of the stalwarts in our business too, and Matt will know Parks very well. Yes, correct. And Parks said, nice show, Sluggy and Matt. Parks is enjoying it. So thanks a lot for tuning in. Matt, we can't say goodbye. Like I said, we can't do Matt Fingal in one show. But what I will tell you is, I truly hope that you get everything you deserve. And I don't think Ollie and I just saying this. We truly believe that you're one of the greatest human beings that ever lived. Ooh. And I hope that your children and your family, Broly, are extremely proud and they know that your legacy and name will live on. You did things that changed the the landscape that changed the way we see things in Barbados. You fought for things that young people in Barbados could only sit down and marvel at. You know, you stood for what's right, but of most things, of all the things you've done, go off phone call, take it there quick, of all the things you've done, man, we love that you are true to you, true to being you. Mm-hmm. I never apologize for being you. And I just want to that I appreciate everything you do, especially for me always listening, having the conversations with me, and I take knowledge and insight from great persons like you, my brother, and I wish you nothing but love and success.
Thank you, and thank all you too for having me. And appreciate all the comments. I know you, the chairman also, and I used to be here to talk about you too, but I want to remember one thing, and yes, something I didn't get to cover with these chairman today, is that the technology has indirectly taught them not to have patience.
Yeah.
The technology has indirectly taught them not to have patience. And if you understand that, you will know how to deal with them a little better. Like for instance, now when they're hungry, Holly, you sit there, mother, want food. Hungry, what you do? Sit down, get the food and cook. So you learn to sit down, and you better grow for 2 hours. These here, as soon as they're hungry, Chefette there, Kentucky there, potato chips there, microwave there. Same thing with telephone. We had the rotary phone. Put in your finger and come around. If you got 3 zeros, you can take 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember to take your finger, because you can cut it off, came back.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you got busy tone, you got to go back to that again. Now then, same thing, computer. You just go pay a bill, you go through files, and all of a sudden you press the thing, everything done in a minute. So they now live in a different time, a different generation. Yeah. So the cricket don't appeal to them unless it's 2020. Mm-hmm. They play football, they play the quick sports. They can't do it. So if you understand that, you know how to teach them and how to talk and really pace and the voice go up and down. And you keep your attention. And before you start a teach class, tell her that at the end of the week, you're saying, tell her, look at her hands, tell you 10 things you say. And they're going to listen hard to remember what you say.
Yeah. Ollie, there's another great one. Be, you know me, these are things that I only dream of doing, and I'm doing it, you know what I mean? So God, whatever you're doing, I thank you. I thank you. God, whatever you're doing, I thank you. I'm extremely grateful. Peoples, this is your boy, Uncle Sluggy, and today I had the pleasure of speaking to a legend. Ollie, thank you so much for accommodating me, my brother, and giving us extra time. We love and appreciate you. Yo, are we supposed to finish at 7:30?
What about
come on, use Matt Fingal. Come on, man. Beaton Rhythm and Rhyme every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. with Ollie and your boy Uncle Sluggy. We outside. Listen, Oshoot, thanks for the donations, Barbados. 840-3711. I need more food stuff. I need more toiletries. We need more meat. And we need more money for help, utility bills. We need everything. 840-3711. And only on December the 24th, we are doing everything by Peter Pan Grill and Bar. That's on Worthy Main Road. You can't miss it. That's camp on Worthy Main Road. Peter Pan Grill and Bar. December 24th, 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We're doing all the giveaways and everything. We need the donations. 840-3711. This is your boy Hardier's Uncle Sluggy, and I'm out.
Three things are clear about today's music industry. One, the consumption of music is expanding at the greatest rate in history and from the most portals ever imagined. Two, the cost of producing music is decreasing. And three, more and more artists are using the internet and social media to market and share their music than ever. If you are interested in the music business, you will want to understand the history, the basics, and the latest developments of the music business. This course, called Music Business Foundations, offers students the opportunity to learn the fundamental principles of music business for now and into the future. Go to training.nti.org.bb, training.nti.org.bb, and check out this course called Music Business Foundations. Why? Because you're never too good to get better.